Alex.
Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Savings, investing, NCAA brackets, U.S. jobs, the Fed, Trump, and the GOP, the new healthcare initiative plan, you name it. That's what we're covering today here on a, I would say this is the least nice day we have had all year long. And it's important because at least it is to me, and probably you too. You probably care because we've already gotten used to being outside. So everything's up and running. We've got lacrosse season, you've got flag football season, kids are out and about, running all over the place, and I'm actually moving this weekend too. So it is one of the most unpleasant weather scenarios I've seen, and I know that it's better here than it is in the Northeast where they're getting hammered with snow, but it's 36 degrees right now on Peachtree, and we've got showers right now, or really for the first half of today, so they're dissipating today, thank goodness. I'm watching the weather in Kirk Mellish's forecast today like a hawk. So we have showers first half of the day as they dissipate. High of 51. That's a cold 51, if you ask me. Lows tonight of 37. Tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have, looks like, showers again. High of 47 tomorrow. Lows of 39. That weather, of course, brought to you by Shoemate. Luke Moss, my weather helper, who has been, has started actually like reading the weather. He's not here today. Down, one kid gets a stomach bug, the entire house gets it. So I feel bad for him today. He couldn't come. He wanted to come. But if it's just Luke and I here in the studio, there's not a lot of parenting I can really do as I'm on the radio if he doesn't feel all that well. But anyway, good morning. I'm here. I would say not 100% either, but soon as we start the show, for some reason, I get this weird energy. So we have a lot of fun things to talk about. The Buffett NCAA brackets, which is really a story about numbers and probability, and a guy who's the most famous investor that loves this stuff. And that's on the light topic for today. We're going to get into the heavier topics as well that deals with the U.S. economy, the jobs number that came out Friday, what that means for the Fed and interest rates. And I'll also try to get to the new GOP healthcare plan because there's obviously market implications for that as well. Ryan Ely is with me here today. I'm sure he'll probably cancel his basket or his baseball practice today for all his kids. He's a coach as well. I guess that's what you do when you get in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. What else are you going to do on the weekends besides play golf and coach? So that's what we're up to today. The number in the studio, by the way, we're live here on this dismal day, or this dreary Sunday, Selection Sunday, by the way. And the number here in the studio is 404-872-0750. Again, the number here in the studio, phone lines open for your calls, questions, 404-872-0750. So if you're sitting around in the kitchen reading the Atlanta Journal-Constitution or the Wall Street Journal, we are here to answer some of those tiebreaker-type questions and give you an objective second opinion or third opinion on some sort of financial decision you're about to make. Because, and this has been a really fun week for that. I've gotten tons of emails and questions. I had a woman from Syracuse, New York, call, who read an article about a pension lump sum that I had done on clarkhoward.com, and her and her entire half her law firm, they're getting packages and nobody can decide whether they take the pension or the lump sum. So we had a really interesting conversation about that. And again, the footprint is unique. The fingerprint of your finances isn't just a few variables that I might write about. It's all the other things, too, that go into life. Do you have kids? Do you want them to inherit money at some point? Is the house paid off? Or should you pay off the house? Do you have other income streams? Do you have other resources? All of these things come into play in any financial situation we're talking about. So we're here on a Sunday to be that objective second or third opinion for you and your spouse. So we're happy to do it. It's the very fun part and unique part about Money Matters every Sunday morning. The number again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's start with loving March, and I typically love the weather. Not obviously today, but we've been spoiled because it's already been a wonderful February, March. For some reason, I grew up loving March. Maybe it's because my birthday is in the month of March. And maybe it's because it was lacrosse season as a kid. That was really exciting to get out of the snow and into the outdoors. And I still love March. And now I think I like it not for my birthday, but it's, again, we're getting outdoors. It's lacrosse coaching season. And it's March Madness. And I'm a bigger basketball fan today than I was in college. A lot, I care about it for a lot more than when I was at school at University of North Carolina. And that's part of it, is I love the Tar Heels no matter what sport we're playing. But it's also probably because I have four boys. One is still just a baby. The other three are old enough to love watching UNC. And they love, it's not just UNC though. They love UNC, they love University of Michigan, because that's also a family school. And then University of Kentucky, which is also a family school. That's where my wife went. So Lynn loves basketball even more than I do and loves to watch UK so much. So she loves UK so much that she actually ordered the book, the John Calipari, which is the Wildcat coach. Pretty fun guy to watch. But he has a memoir, of course, one of these books. He didn't really write it, but somebody helped him write it. And it's his leadership. It's his leadership credo. But she ordered the John Calipari memoir, and she's been reading that book to the kids at night, for goodness sake. So anyway, today, so basketball is a big deal in our family. Today is Selection Sunday. That means the brackets are formed, the 64 teams that go into the NCAA March Madness brackets. That happens today. So even if you could care less, and this was me not that long ago, even if you could care less about college basketball, and that may be the case for lots of you listening, you've got to love the money side of this and the tournament side of all this. And that's what we're going to get into today, or the probability of all these games. And we spent some time, Ryan and I spent some time revisiting the math on this, which is hard to wrap your mind around. And that's what's cool about this. So a few years ago, Buffett offered a $1 billion prize. That's with a B. $1 billion prize. Anybody who would guess the exact winning combination of all 64 teams. So you had to get a perfect bracket, if you will. And if you did it, it was $1 billion. No one, of course, got it right. So no one got the billion. And it must have worked. It was open to the public. Ultimately ended up being this giant branding thing for Quicken Loans. So it's big, good PR for Quicken and Buffett. And where he had a partnership with Quicken Loans, and it was called the Quicken Loans $1 billion Bracket. And by the way, I didn't realize this until this weekend. By the way, if you've seen those annoying Rocket commercials, Rocket Mortgage is part of Quicken. But the $1 billion was, that was 2014. Since then, in 15 and 16, Buffett has changed up the game. And he started to offer a prize that's a $1 million per year for life to anyone in his companies, by the way, that can contribute. So Berkshire, it's only if you work for Berkshire, one of the Berkshire companies. And if you guess the perfect Sweet 16 correctly, in this last couple of years, you got $1 million for life, per year for the rest of your life. Now, all you have to do, and he's up the ante on this big time, he's really up the ante, and the odds are way better. Now, all you have to do is get the first round right. So you just have to guess the first 32 games, which may sound a lot easier, but remember, and it is easier, but remember the odds of these bets are just mind-boggling. When you do the probability math, you need to use exponents. I don't know if you remember. Maybe this is like third, fourth grade math. I can't remember when we learned this. But you used exponential math or exponents. Remember to the power? It's to the power. Oh, three to the, or two to the what power? That's the math on this thing. Because you have multiple brackets and the only outcome is either win or lose. So there's two outcomes. So if you have two outcomes, the math to guess the perfect bracket is two to the x power. So if you want to get the probability of the whole bracket, it's 2 to the 63rd power, not 64th, by the way, because one team doesn't lose. So what's 2 to the 63rd power? You've probably already heard this. It's about 1 in 9 quintillion. And just as a quick reference, I had to go back and Wikipedia this to make sure I knew the numbers here. Remember, it goes billion, trillion, then quadrillion, then quintillion. That's how big that number is. So big that 9 quintillion sheets of paper, if you stack them up on top of each other, we'd go from here all the way to the sun and back. Wow. I'm sorry, times 3,000 times. That's how big of a number it is. So a paper stack from Earth to Sun to back to Earth times 3,000. Just hard to really wrap your mind around that. Or if you're a pro golfer, getting a hole in one five consecutive times in a row. Or winning the Powerball and the Mega Millions lottery, both in the same week, one ticket each. So, and by the way, there's a bunch of other stats. I'll read some of these today. It's also like this one. This is an easier way to wrap your arms around this one. It's just the same odds as a Major League Baseball player hitting a home run 17 straight at-bats. Pretty amazing. So now the question is, if you've only got to get the first 32 right, what does it really come out to? So remember, if you get a little basketball knowledge and you apply it and you say, look, I know that at least a one seed has never lost to a 16 in the first round, and only a few times has a 15 or a 2 lost to a 15 and so forth, it actually brings the odds down, but it's still, to get a perfect bracket, 1 in 128 billion. And that's why Buffett was willing to make that billion-dollar bet, knowing that the chances are just so slim to get this right. Now, what's the up ante here? You only have to get the first round right. Here's the math on that. 2 to the 32nd power, because it's only 32 games. What's the math? 1 in 4.3 billion. So 1 in 4.3 billion chance to win $1 million a year for life. If no one hits it perfectly in the first round, not all is lost. The best bracketologist for the Buffett companies, whoever enters, at least gets $100,000. Now, you actually have to work for one of the Berkshire companies, by the way. That's also fascinating. They employ about 367,000 people worldwide. So if you work for Kraft or Geico or See's Candies or BNSF Railway, you can participate as well. So by the way, if you're listening and you work for one of those Buffett companies, if you haven't already heard about this, go out there. It's Selection Sunday. Tonight or tomorrow after the games are announced, you've got to do your bracket. $1 million per year for life if you win, and I want you as a guest on this show, please, because you heard it here. I would like to say first, but it's probably second, third, or fourth. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. News, weather, traffic, straight ahead, then your calls and questions here on News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
70 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. 36 degrees in Peachtree. Chilly, wet, uncomfortable. And we were just finishing up talking about bracketology. Even if you could care less about college basketball, and I get that. I love it at this point in my life, at least. The math on figuring out getting these brackets correct is pretty fascinating. So, again, there's 64 teams. We get down to a winner. So you have 32 games, then 16, then 8, then 4, and so forth. And the math on getting it right is exponential. At first glance, and I think this is why it's so fascinating to me, is that at first glance you think, well, the first 32 games, you get a fair amount of them right, because a one seed that's paired with a 16, they almost always win. Really, actually, always win. And then most of the time, the 2 beats the 15. But it's when you get into the 3 versus the 13 and the 4 seed versus the 12, things start to happen. And you get upsets over and over and over again. And that's why it's so impossible to get this right. The math that Ryan and I figured out, and it's probably, you basically have a chance of 1 in about 4.3 billion to get just the first round right. To get the first round right, if you work for a Berkshire Hathaway company, Warren Buffett, he'll give you $1 million a year for life. That's $1 million per year for the rest of your life. So pretty awesome statistically, and we'll see if that obviously happens. Either way, we're talking about it here on the air. Let's talk about the Fed and Trump and GOP healthcare and all these other things and your calls and questions. When we return,
it's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. It's 9:36. It's not 8:36. It feels like it because it's daylight savings time today. Good morning. I know we pushed our clocks forward, and it feels as though you got a little less sleep, but guess what? We've had a little more daylight, a lot more daylight. And the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, phone lines open, and we'll go to the phones with your calls and your questions. So what do you call about? What's on your mind this morning? Well, maybe you give us a call today about a question that has to do with your 401k or any iteration of that, the 403b. When can you take the money, and what point do you take money from what account? Is it the brokerage account or the after-tax account? Is it the Roth? Is it the IRA? So there's a swirl of, hey, what's the combination? What's the right combo to do this? How do I generate or pull out the right amount of income for the life that I'm living for retirement? Maybe it's just a product question, an ETF or a mutual fund, an annuity. Are you paying too much? Are you locked up into something? What's a good product that you should be using over time? And we get lots of questions about annuities and mutual funds. Hey, Wes, what's the cost of doing this? What happens if I've got this combination of different investments? What am I really paying? And is that too much? Is that fair? I'm happy to weigh in on that question for you. Maybe you have a question about your advisory firm. We're happy to talk through that. Maybe it's a question about robo-advisors or target date funds, which are really the grandfather of robo-advisors. Happy to talk that through. Maybe it's just more of a planning question about, do I take an income stream from the company that is trying to give me a package to leave a little early? It's just the drumbeat of companies saying, hey, here's some extra money to leave today, a year or two or three early, just continues on. For some reason, a decade ago, I thought that there was a surge of companies doing this, and maybe it was just a one-time anomalistic event. Oh, well, we've got a lot of companies trying to get you out the door a little bit early, and it just continues on. Every quarter, every year, every week, I hear more and more stories of companies trying to downsize, right size, whatever they want to call it, they're trying to get you to retire a little bit early. And the other thought is that this week, I heard a couple different stories from families I've worked with for a long time that they get, you could love your job. You could absolutely love it. But very often, and this isn't all the time, but I would say 2/3, maybe 3/4 of folks that I've talked to over the years or work with, at some point they get into a scenario at their job where they've got some sort of person they report to or have to deal with, it just makes it so unfun. And at some point you might love your job, but then the environment that you're in and the new pressures of the new, call it the administration or your new peers, you name it, it just gets to the point where it's not fun anymore. And work just starts to suck. And I hear that all the time. And maybe it's because folks want to come talk because they're ready to stop and they're ready to make their assets still work for them. But that's just the reality of the world we live in. If you escape that, wonderful. And if you were one of the, let's call it a quarter of the people that I know that get through blissfully and everything works out, that's awesome. But for most folks in America, you get to a point where you're just ready to make a change and you're ready to not have to work anymore. And that's what income investing is really all about. How do you just take the assets that you have and generate a steady income stream plus social, maybe a pension? You put it all together and you can do what you want to do for the rest of time. That's what we're all trying to do. So call us here in the studio. I'm happy to answer those questions. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's the number here in the studio. We'll go to the phones. Chuck and McDonough. Chuck, good morning. Welcome to the show. What's up? How can I help?
I inherited about $55,000 to $57,000 that I really have no idea what to do with it.
How about, what's the bigger picture? How old are you, Chuck?
60.
And what have you been doing? A couple questions. One is, do you have a mortgage on the house?
No.
Zero mortgage. Cool.
Yeah, we are debt-free.
Debt, totally debt-free. You can tell that's probably the first place I was going.
Yeah. We didn't retire until we were totally debt-free. And we found out that we could and figured out that it would work out, so we retired. And then all of a sudden, my aunt, who I knew I had a rich aunt, but I didn't know she gave me any money.
Wow. So it was kind of a surprise. It really was out of the blue.
It was, out of the blue. Yep, totally out of the blue.
And And the, I guess the question is this. So you're already an early retiree. So if you guys are 60, you're not taking Social Security, obviously.
Nope, not yet.
And then are you, do you have a pension? Is that part of the equation?
Yeah, my wife and I both are, we're in TRS.
Teachers Retirement System of Georgia, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Which is a pretty, you know, I used to say, Chuck, I used to joke that teachers, maybe I wasn't joking, but I used to say teachers are the richest folks in Georgia. And teachers would yell at me about that, and they'd say, Wes, we're not, that we are the farthest thing from the richest folks in Georgia. But very, there's just not a lot of programs left like TRS, the retirement program. If you can get 25, 30, 35 years as a Georgia school teacher, depending on the county you're in, it's one of the better pension programs that I have seen. Now, it's a lot of years dealing with a lot of kids. Yeah. And I know that teachers, while they're working, they probably are pretty significantly underpaid.
Well, and we learn, you learn to live with that.
Well, and with the promise of potentially having a retirement. Is this your first year? When did you actually retire?
I actually retired a few years ago.
Wow. See, that's almost worth it, man, right?
Mm-hmm. But so, once again, we made sure the house was paid off, the kids were out of college, and had jobs. We made sure we were debt-free.
So the so now you've got your monthly pension from TRS. How much are you relying on other assets to generate income, or is it mostly just the pension amount?
Right now, well, my wife and I both work part-time still. So,
perfect.
You know, she's getting money from that, and I'm getting some money from other sources as well. But,
and did you guys also say, did you also do the 403B? Do you have some retirement money in 403B, Chuck?
Yes, I did. I had a decent amount in 403B, almost another $70,000.
All right. So here's one thought for you is that when you get into a planning situation like you're talking about here, you've got to worry about taxes. And the good news is you've got a tax. You'll always have a tax situation. The good news is you've got plenty of income. The bad news is your tax rate will remain relatively high forever because you've got this perennial pension. And then in a couple of years, social will kick in and you don't have to take it right away. Is your social get reduced because of this, or are you in one of the, we're in a county where your social is full as well?
No, we're in full social.
Full social. So you got a big tax situation. Then let's fast forward 10 years. You're 70, then something happens to the house and you have a big expense. And you say, you and your wife, hey, we've got to put on a new, the driveway is so cracked that we need to replace the driveway, and it costs $20,000 for new concrete. Where you don't want to pull that money from is the 403B, or what could be really is IRA money for you. Because if you do that in the future, it's going to add to your adjusted gross income, and you've already got a bunch of layers of adjusted gross income. So you don't want to pull it from retirement money. You want to pull it from the kind of money that you just inherited, because it's already after-tax money. So this becomes very useful money from a tax and investment perspective, Chuck. So my thought is this: if you have plenty of income, you don't really need this money except for long-term emergencies. It's very investable, meaning that you don't have to leave it in cash. You could, of course, because you've got plenty of other income, but you don't need any income. You don't need, and you don't need it for a long time. So I would look at this as, hey, I want to do something that's growth oriented. So I'd look at some sort of Vanguard type account and look for whether it's the Dividend Appreciation Fund, which is a Vanguard, either individual mutual fund or an ETF that you can use. Or you can look at Vanguard has different balanced funds. They've got just a Vanguard balanced fund that's always partially stock, partially bond. Or the Vanguard Star Fund is a kind of a replacement fund for one of my favorite Vanguard funds that's closed to most new investors or all new investors.
I'm already in that fund, though.
Which one?
The Wesley.
Yeah, that one again. So if you're already in Wellesley, that's a really conservative one, though, Chuck. That's 65% in bonds, and I do not think you want to be that heavy in bonds over the next 5 years. Because remember, we've got a headwind for bonds. It's been an awesome place to be for 32 years. As rates start going up, it's going to be harder for you to make money in bonds, and that's a very heavy bond fund. So you want to look at something that has a, I would say, a more judicious balance that has dividend-paying stocks and bonds, not just almost everything in bonds. So I wouldn't necessarily be, I wouldn't be adding to something like Wellesley. I'd look for something like Star as another version of a Vanguard fund that's a little bit, the balance is towards the stock side rather than the bond side.
Mm-hmm. My real question is this, though. You know, the market's been so going up so much for so many years, and I know that, you know, it doesn't always go up. And putting a very large sum in right at possibly peak time would, you know, is not the thing to do.
It's uncomfortable to do it. You're right, and you're absolutely right that it's hard to just take a bunch of cash that's totally safe and then put the whole thing at risk quickly. And
it's been a long time since we've had a recession. We're, you know, historically.
It is, but you got to remember too. So, and that's exactly what you need to look for. When does economic activity start to bubble over? The Fed raises interest rates too much, and then we go back into recession. That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be, as far as I can tell, it's probably at least another year or more out. And quite frankly, it's impossible to tell beyond that. So we're still in a decent economic situation. We're not overheating just yet. We just had a jobs report on Friday, 235,000 jobs. So it's a strong jobs market. It's not 300,000, which would say, hey, we're probably overheating. But what I would do, because it's a frustrating, Chuck, the timing on this is hard, right? Dow to almost 21,000.
Yeah.
The Dow's just under 21,000. So what I would do is I'd pick a good investment plan. Let's say it's a Star fund, if, hypothetically. I would get started with that, and I'd probably do 50% of the assets today. And then I would have a plan over the next year, or maybe it's 18 months, to slowly trickle in the rest of that money so that if the market does, if and when the market does correct, you're buying at a period of time when things are lower, but you're just doing it systematically. If you wait, the timing on it can really get you into this cycle where you don't end up doing anything and you're paralyzed. So you've got to have your own plan and systematically stick to that. Really what's called a dollar cost averaging type program over the next year to 2 years. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, 404-872-0750, right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. 404-872-0750. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're talking jobs and the Fed, Trump, healthcare, you name it. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. Janet joins us on the line. Janet joins us on the line from Tocco Hills. Janet, good morning. How can we help? What's going on?
Well, I'm going to be 61 next month, and I know that at 62, I can take Social Security at a large, you know, take a pretty strong hit as far as what I would get a month. And they limit you as to how much money you can make while you're still working, right?
Absolutely. So the magic number has changed slowly over the years, right? It used to be 15 grand. Now that number goes up to, it's almost $17,000 for 2017. So the number is 16,920 is the amount you can earn and still take Social Security early before your full retirement age. So if your age is 66 is your normal age and you're 61, let's say you're 62, which is when you can start taking Social Security. You've got that four-year window. And during that four-year window from 62 to 66, that full age, if you're going to take Social Security, your best bet, and you want to work at the same time, your best bet is, of course, to earn just under $17,000. It's kind of the perfect part-time work plus Social Security scenario. If it doesn't work for you to wait, and you can't quite afford to wait all the way to age 66, then what I've seen families successfully do is do some part-time work, but just keep your part-time work to under $17,000 in any given year. That way you can kind of get the best of both worlds. I like that because you get A, part-time income, B, you're working, and C, you're taking Social Security without getting penalized. Yes, it's early, so you can look at that as a slight penalty because you're not waiting till 66, but at least the social that you're receiving does not get hit a dollar for every $2 over the $16,920 in wages per year. All right, in the 10 o'clock hour, stay tuned here to Money Matters. We'll answer your calls, questions, jobs, Fed, NCAA brackets, you name it, right here, News 95.5 and AM 750.